954, please.
Accept and appropriate a Metro Nature in Neighborhood Capital Grant Award to Portland Parks and Recreation in the amount of $1 million for the development of the Gateway Green.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a very exciting project, which I know everybody's going to be happy to talk about or listen to. We know that in most of the city of Portland, 4 out of 5 families live within a 10-minute walk of a developed park or a natural area, whereas in East Portland, particularly east of I-205, only 3 of 5 families live within this 10-minute walk. So that's something that I have been working on since I became Parks Commissioner in 2013. In fact, since then, I've announced over $48 million investments in parks and infrastructure in East Portland, some of it being at Gateway Green, which is a particularly challenging site because it's the highway, it's right by the highway, and there's a physical and perhaps a mental barrier delineating where the access exists. So I'm very excited to hear for you to be here today. I see Ted Gilbert in the audience as well, Linda Robinson. You've just been amazing community champions for this project. I've been happy to be part of it. So I'll turn it over to Ross Swanson and then whichever you want to start. And welcome Councillor Stacey also.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Commissioner. My name is Ross Swanson. I'm a capital project manager with Portland Parks and Recreation. With me is Linda Robinson, the chair of Friends of Gateway Green, which is the nonprofit partner that we've been working with for a number of years. And then Bob Stacey with Metro, the public sector partner in spirit and as well financially when we're done here today. So Gateway Green is that 24-acre space that's at the confluence of I-205 and I-84 for years of us. Most of us just drove by not really thinking much about it with the exception of Linda Robinson and Ted Gilbert. It's connected to the public through a regional trail system of I-205. Metro recent trail counts that they're estimated about 250,000 people come by every year on bike or foot, so it is connected to the city. Recently, we transformed back in June, we opened a beta version of the park, and this was to see how the public would react to such a unique space and how we could get a symbiotic relationship with the off-road cycling community. Although Portland's known for its vibrant cycling community, we have fallen behind in the area of off-road cycling, and we're using Gateway Green as a tool to get lessons learned as BPS works on its off-road cycling plan and as we develop our park. The park has been very successful so far in the last couple months, and we've continued to have strong users participate. The fully developed Gateway Green Park will be a regional destination park. It offers basic amenities and restored habitat. All this will provide a unique recreational opportunity for the metro area. And for this reason, the business district has championed Gateway Green Park as a regional destination, and they were going to compose their neighborhood identity out of it. In true Portland spirit, the Gateway Green was brought to life through a grassroots effort. It's a community-led project involving both public and private partners. And as Commissioner mentioned, the successful launch of this project began over a group of dedicated community advocates. I'm proud to turn the microphone over to Linda Robinson, the chair of Gateway Green, and then following her up will be Metro Councilor Bob Stacey.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to tell you more about the background and the history of the project and the timeline. And I don't normally read my testimony, but there's a lot to put in a short time, so I will be reading this summary. On behalf of Friends of Gateway Green, also known as FOG, we are grateful to be part of this unique project, which is an extraordinary example of how public-private partnerships can work. The idea of a park at this location was suggested in late 2005 by Ted Gilbert, a property owner in the Gateway area and member of the Citizen Committee affiliated with the Urban Renewal Area. Ted's in the audience today. The suggestion came in response to an awareness that the area needed something unique to draw people, to draw development, and an awareness that the area was extremely park deficient. When he suggested a park, I agreed to help. So for the next 2 years, Ted and I gathered information. We met one-on-one with key decision makers to assess the viability of the idea. And in late 2007, we secured permission from ODOT, the property owner, to lead a public visioning process for the property. On a very cold, snowy day in February 2008, more than 40 people gathered for a charrette. And that's where the idea of a bike park and other came came out of that effort. It produced a vision plan, which was published in May of 2008. Friends of Gateway Green was formed in March 2009 to advocate for the acquisition of the property and the development of the park. A partnership agreement between PPNR and FOG was signed, which indicated that FOG would take the lead on public outreach and fundraising for the park. Then in the fall of 2009, Gateway Green became an Oregon Solutions project. This process brought together a group of key stakeholders to examine the feasibility of the park, identify a lead agency, and establish a process for the acquisition and development. The process included numerous stakeholder meetings, a property survey, a property appraisal, and it culminated more than a year later in the Declaration of Cooperation signed by more than 20 groups who agreed to help make the park a reality. In this document, signed on December 10, 2010, the Parks Bureau agreed to be the lead agency and acquire the property. When the document was updated in 2012, as a major capital campaign was launched, the document was signed that time by more than 40 organizations. FOG did a crowdfund campaign then in 2013 that raised more than $100,000 with more than 750 donors. This funded the next level of planning for the park. Then in October 2014, Parks Bureau acquired approximately 25 of the 38 acres between the two freeways. A couple of months later, FOG applied for a Metro Nature and Neighborhoods Capital Grant. The $100 million request was awarded, subject to raising a $2 million match. So for the next 2 years, FOG focused on raising the match, wrapping up that effort with a second crowdfund campaign in the fall of 2016, which again raised more than $100,000. Statistically, crowdfunding success at this level, not just once, but twice, is unprecedented. We also thank Portland Parks for kicking in enough system development charge funds to reach and exceed the required $2 million match. Construction of the off-road bicycle features started in October 2016 using grant monies and crowdfunding monies raised by FOG. Then more than 1,000 people came out on an extremely hot day in June 2017 to celebrate the completion of this portion of the park. Together, Portland Parks and Friends of Gateway Green request approval to officially accept the $1 million award from Metro's Nature and Neighborhoods Capital Grant Program. This generous award will help transform a long-neglected strip of freeway remnant into a public park. And thank you, Metro, for seeing the value in the project and investing in the East Portland community.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the Commission. I'm Bob Stacey, Metro Councilor for District 6. I don't think my district fully includes the Gateway Green site anymore. Sam Chase.
Oh, really?
No, it's Chase. It is
yeah,
Sam's.
Sam Chase now has it, but I have the entrance on the south. And I'm very proud to be here on behalf of Metro. As a point of privilege, I'd like to acknowledge two folks from Metro who are with me today, Mary Rose Navarro, whom many of you have worked with from Parks and Nature, and our brand-new director of Parks and Nature, John Bleicher, who's here in the audience and can stand or wave. We're very excited to have him on board. You're going to be seeing more of him as he takes the reins and works with all our regional partners. Very exciting to be here. Ted Gilbert and Linda Robinson have been working for, as you pointed out, more than a decade. And I've known about Gateway Green since the first time I decided I was running for Metro office in 2009. I went to see my old colleague in public service, Linda, to talk about my campaign, and she talked to me about her campaign. So from that day forward, I've been a strong supporter of the vision that she and Ted have made for this place, and is making it so valuable to East Portland communities and, of course, to everyone who aspires to ride off-road, single track and otherwise. We are in this business, the $1 million business, as a consequence of the Nature and Neighborhoods Program, which was a grant program funded in the 2006 Regional Parks and Nature Bond Measure. A major portion of that resource from the voters of this region go to acquisitions of new land, protection of natural habitat and water quality, and apportion the Nature and Neighborhoods grant program to communities for increasing access to existing parks and nature and enhancing the ecological and natural resource, habitat, and water quality value of those lands. It's a competitive process. But when Gateway Green's application came forward in 2014, the review committee was really blown away and allocated this $1 million grant to Friends of Gateway Green. It will go to making those improvements to habitat, the oak savanna that once and still does to some extent occupy that land, other forested areas, restoration work, and also key additions to the access to the property and other facilities. It's all been programmed expertly by Parks and Nature, by your Parks Department, to coordinate with the other resources that Linda identified. This is an investment by the voters of all the region in a very special part of the region. I think we're all very excited to be a part of it, and I wish I had a great big cardboard check, but I think we've already handed the real check over. So
that's even better.
Yeah, indeed. Unless you have questions, I'll stop.
Colleagues,
I just have one question. Linda's here wearing many hats and also as an advocate. So, Linda, you referenced June of this summer when we gathered, and it was unbelievably hot. But what was also made clear was some of the challenges we have in gaining access to Gateway Green. So put on your Queen for a Day hat and just tell us, what's the priority for gaining a better access to the site?
Well, we desperately need better access for large vehicles for maintenance and construction purposes. We have a couple of options. I think the best one is to use a bridge that was built by ODOT for the railroad to access the track, the Union Pacific track. That bridge right now is difficult to use because it brings you within inches of the rail with a very sharp right turn. With a modification of that bridge, with a new ramp off of it, we could come down onto ODOT property, avoid that turn, avoid the right-of-way, the railroad right-of-way altogether. Right now, whenever we need a large vehicle to come in, we have to pay a Union Pacific flagger to come, which is expensive, and they have to drive down the railroad, cross the tracks twice. There's lots of danger and risk involved in that. So funds to put that new ramp on the bridge would help a great deal.
Thank you.
We're not quite done with our presentation yet.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So on June 24th, we did do the opening. Parks and Rec and Friends of Gateway Green hosted what we called the Gathering at the Gateway Green. This is the opening of the Dirt Lab project. The Dirt Lab was the project that was largely funded by the crowdfunding campaign of last September and October, but then also supplemented with system development charge from Parks and Rec. This, again, was the beta version of what we are planning on doing, once we accept the money with Metro, we're moving forward on the finished product of what Gateway Green will be, and we'll hope to see that out there in 18 months to 24 months.
Could you just make that picture bigger for when? Because this was 100 degrees, like the commissioner was there. It's 100 degrees. I thought, oh, people are just going to be waiting. I mean, look all the some people
faces
in the shade. But then it was absolutely packed and doing wheelies and goodness knows what else. It was fabulous.
We estimated we were well over 1,000 people on that day. Again, it was a 100-degree day. There was plenty of other things on an early summer Saturday. The top one is the actual day that they're out there. But if you do show up there on a mild 80-degree Saturday in the summer, it does look like that today as well. What we did when we built the Dirt Lab, and you'll look down at the bottom, we did this on purpose. You'll see the youngster, the younger person making progress on the pump track, which is an off-road cycling device. And then finally, to the right is an individual doing the dirt jumps. We geared the design of this for progression. In other words, we weren't just going to build a mountain bike park for the typical mountain biker. We geared it towards progression. And when we worked with the design team and Northwest Trail Alliance, this is not uncommon. This is what the off-road cycling community is looking for. So, but moving forward, so we have the Dirt Lab out there now. Moving forward with the Metro's Nature in the Neighborhood grant, as well as the SDC, we hope to improve the habitat and the plant restoration. We're going to continue to remove invasive plants and trees. What we realized with this is we need a more formalized entrance. We need to make this look like a park as you enter the park. And we're going to probably need gathering spaces, as what we learned on that day was this is a popular gathering space. We can have some real programmed events out here. And then in addition, most people don't think about this with parks, but we need all the utilities and that would be traditional with any development. We need to get water and we need to get sanitary out there. Right now the park does not have it. It does create an issue as far as maintenance on the park. So with this grant in the SDC, we'll move forward in getting that in the next 2 years. The park does have its challenges, as Commissioner Fish had pointed out. We do have access alternatives that we're looking at, and as Linda pointed out, Commissioner Saltzman isn't here, but we are working with PBOT as well. So Linda mentioned the one at the north end, but there's a south end opportunity, and the PBOT has a project called the T-HOP, and I couldn't tell you what that acronym means right now, Tillamook Halsey something. And that's going to be coming online. It's federally funded, and it'll be coming online in 2021. We're working with them about how to make their path under the I-205 big enough and wide enough for our maintenance needs and as well as emergency vehicle needs. So with that, I'll take questions, but let's have the partners. This has been a completely partner-driven project. So I think we're going to let Northwest Trail Alliance and Community Cycling Center come up and give their, and then we'll answer questions as a group, if that's okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You want to go first?
For the record, my name is Chris Rotvik. I'm the current president of the Northwest Trail Alliance. Excuse me, I'm going to end up reading it because I'm a little bit less comfortable in just speaking. So at the Northwest Trail Alliance, we're advocates for trail access. Our all-volunteer nonprofit organization responsibly builds and maintains many of the finest mountain biking trails in the Pacific Northwest. We're delighted to have helped create what could be called Portland's finest and first bike park and a prototype of how Portland's off-road cycling master plan will benefit the city. Gateway Green represents progression. Progression in the sport of mountain biking, of course, as Ross mentioned, but also the progression of new park venues and modes of outdoor recreation throughout Portland, and environmental progression. We all know that outdoor recreation reduces crime rates, improves educational outcomes, and improves health. We know it's a powerful economic engine. But are we aware that outdoor recreation also creates conservation advocates, which progress society in terms of positive environmental change? The potential for this positive change is why we at the Northwest Trail Alliance are very excited about the next phase of development at Gateway Green. In perhaps a year, the city will have created a showcase natural habitat that's completely intertwined with progressive recreation. Both of those promote conservation, and that's a good that extends well beyond city limits. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here today. Good morning.
Hi, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Cassandra Griffin. I'm here today in my capacity as the new Executive Director of the Community Cycling Center. We are a well-established Portland institution that has been working for 23 years now to broaden access to bicycling. We believe that all Portlanders, regardless of income and background, should have the opportunity to experience the joy, the freedom, and the health benefits of bicycling, and of course, the health benefits that accrue to all of us from less pollution and climate change. We provide a range of programs primarily serving the residents of North, Northeast, and Outer East Portland. I'm happy to be here to share our story of being a community partner working on this park and in this park. One of the biggest things we do in the Community Cycling Center is we teach summer bike camps. We usually reach about 700 kids per summer. We're teaching those kids how to bike safely, how to read maps, how to get from one part of town to another part of town. What we do mostly is ride around and enjoy our wonderful parks system. So kids go from the starting point to a park and they get off their bikes and they run around and they play, and then they get on their bikes and they ride to another park and they get off and they run around and play some games. Sometimes there are popsicles as an extra benefit. We increasingly offer scholarships to the bike camps to ensure that all kids have access to these fun educational summer programs. In the summer of 2017, we offered 8 bike camps, week-long bike camps, out of 5 different East Portland schools, all on a full scholarship basis, thanks to a different funding stream from City of Portland. That was through the Special Appropriations Program. And we loved those camps. We hope to offer them again in 2018 and beyond. Thank you. The list of schools: Prescott, Shaver, Sacramento, Cherry Park Elementary Schools, and the Park Rose and David Douglas School Districts, and Helensville Alternative School, which is operated by Multnomah Education Service District. So we were having kids meet there and going from there out. And for the older kids, what we were doing this summer was go to Gateway Green and let them ride around in on dirt bikes at that new park. The exciting thing that we discovered was that the parks, the jumps in that park and the exciting skills give different kids an opportunity to shine. So the kids who talked a lot and led the group and wanted to be in charge normally riding on the streets were not the ones who were brave on the jumps. The kids who had been quiet and who didn't have the opportunity to be leaders in their age peer cohort were the ones who all of a sudden were like, I'm going to go first. I'm going to go again. I'm going to do it bigger and better. And it gave those kids an opportunity to become leaders and to gain more respect from their peers and have another opportunity. And that's just an example of something like this, giving kids an exciting opportunity to do something different in their neighborhood and have a different role in their peer group. As you know, some of the neighborhoods in East Portland are park deficient. Obviously, we talk about that all the time. And one impact of that is that kids have fewer places to ride a bike. So getting this park in there and giving kids a destination place to ride a bike is one step towards solving the problem. The Community Cycling Center is excited to continue to partner with the city, Friends of Gateway Green, Sun Community Schools, the Trails Alliance, and others to continue offering these programs and to keep doing great stuff in the park and for the underserved residents of East Portland. In closing, 2 funny coincidences. Number one, one of our mechanics in our bike shop on North Alberta is on the board of Friends of Gateway Green, so we have that relationship. Number two, 10 years ago, I was collecting SDCs for the City of Portland Parks Department. So I touched some of the money that went into this park previously. So, and Linda, of course, was on the SDC committee for the Parks Department at the time, because we just all move around. So thank you all.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Commissioner Fritz, is that the end of the formal presentation? Do we have public testimony on this item?
I have one person signed up.
Very good.
Terry Parker.
Mr. Parker, come on up, please. Anybody else want to testify? Very good. We'll close the list after Mary.
Good morning.
Cedric, did you want to testify as well?
Oh.
Close the list, please. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Terry Parker. I don't have anything prepared. I was actually downtown for another project and decided I would come over. I want to talk about sustainability and equity. And I'm going to start with something that happened in my neighborhood long before my time. In the 1920s, a racetrack that was a former horse track, car track, motorcycle track was turned into a golf course. It's called Rose City Golf Course. If I go out and play at Rose City Golf Course today, I pay a fee. And it was a community-led drive to put the golf course into place, and yet I go out and pay a fee to do it. If you reserve a ball field, if you use a city swimming pool, if you want a concert in the park, you pay a fee. That's called sustainability of the project. At Metro, you pay a fee, I think, for Blue Lake Park. I haven't been there in years. And I know you pay a fee for Glendevere Golf Course. So why, if you're going to build a special park for a special type of infrastructure for bicycles, why is there not some sort of a fee attached to it, a user fee for sustainability? And the second half of that is equity. If I have to pay a fee to play golf or use a ball field or to have a concert in a park or to use a swimming pool, and the bicycling community doesn't have to pay a fee to use something that's specially built for them, That's not equity. It seems like every time the word bicycle comes up, the word free comes up, and it trumps equity. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Mary Seid. I just want to thank Commissioner Fritz and everybody who has worked on this project. You know, when you think about it, who would have thought of that piece of land that you could use it for something like that? And while I acknowledge some of what you're saying about assessing fees, I also think this is a really important thing because this is an activity that all somebody needs is a bike. And I didn't, you know, it's funny, I didn't have a bike growing up, and every bike I've had as an adult has been stolen, so I've given it up. But I think that you know, as this evolves, you probably will have some ideas about whether or not there should be some minimal fees or something like that. But I just think this is incredible. I was sitting here thinking about this and thinking about my son and daughter-in-law are very much into biking. In fact, I realized tomorrow's their 25th wedding anniversary, and they met because she had a bike for sale. And that just connected with me as I was sitting here, that, you know, that's what brought them together. And after 25 years, they're biking. And she does free clinics for cyclocross and things actually in a park during the summers. And I just think that, you know, with everything that's going on in our world, that we need to not lose sight of the basic things that we can provide in our community to help everyone enjoy their life and learn, because there is a lot to learn when you're involved with something like biking. And I think this is an incredible thing, and I just can't thank everybody enough for bringing this to fruition. I mean, who would have thought in their wildest dreams that piece of land could be used like this? And so thank you.
Well said. Thank you, colleagues. Anything else before we move this? Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance.
Can we say some nice things then?
Yeah, please.
Mayor, can I make a motion to add an emergency clause?
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz to add an emergency clause. Any further discussion?
And the reason for that, it's in the public interest to get this money accepted as quickly as possible.
Call the roll on the amendment.
Sorry. Udaly.
Well, thanks, everyone, for the presentation. It's always exciting to add a new park, and I'm going to restrain from commenting on the testimony and just vote aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
I think this is great, and it's a fantastic example of how the public can help us lead in really interesting and positive ways. The amendment is adopted.
Oh, wait, no, that was the emergency ordinance.
I'm sorry?
That's the emergency.
I'm sorry, correct. Yeah. The amendment to make it an emergency ordinance. Correct. So now we'll call the roll on the main motion as amended.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you to everybody who's been involved. Ted Gilbert and Linda Robinson indeed have shepherded this through the process for a very long time. Linda had actually helped me on my very first election campaign. So we've both been in it for quite some time. We worked on the Citywide Parks group together too. And pulled ivy on this very spot, one of the dirtiest and wettest I've ever gotten pulling ivy. And that's one of the reasons that we need the Nature in the Neighbourhoods grant. So thank you, Councillor Stacey. Thank you, Mary Rose Navarro, who's also been in this for a very long time. It was interesting to hear Cassandra talk about where she's been, because Mary Rose used to be in our Parks Department, is now serving at Metro. So it just kind of all comes together, and that's what parks do. Parks bring a lot of different kinds of people together. And good stuff happens when there are people who are willing to work at it, because it's not been easy by any stretch of the imagination. I have to admit, it made my heart feel very good when the Northwest Trail Alliance said that this is the first and the finest bicycle facility in the city of Portland. I've been proud to be part of it. And actually what I said on that 100-degree day was, A, I was very happy that everybody was wearing a helmet. There's a culture that everybody wears a helmet. So in terms of, you know, wanting to ride a bicycle, I'm not there, but I would probably pay to watch, because it's so interesting and exciting and just happiness coming through. And secondly, I was a bit reluctant to put this on the agenda with a major presentation because now East Portland's got this. I think everybody else is going to want one as well. And so it's wonderful that we do have this facility east of 205 that will hopefully make more people realize it's really not that hard to get to Gateway and you should try it more often. Aye.
Fish.
I want to just also add my thanks to Commissioner Fritz for her stalwart support of this development. And to Ted and Linda for reminding us that we can continue to think and dream big in our community. And boy, do we need that now more than ever. Thank you both. Aye.
Wheeler.
Thanks, Commissioner. Thanks, everybody. This is great. The ordinance is adopted as amended.